Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third hour of Grant and Danny kicks off, as always, with the Beltway Blitz at noon. We'll get into the Nats with their 1.5 game lead on the Cubs and the Brewers coming up at 12:18. And at 12:45, the story of a high school assistant coach who was emailing opponents game plans and pertinent details on the upcoming matchups for 3 years. And nobody really knows why he was doing it. There's no motive for this. It's the weirdest story ever. That's coming up in about 40 minutes. Right now, let's kick off our blitz. Get started with Craig Hoffman, who's our Redskins beat reporter. Craig, I know fans don't often care much about non-football news, but it is a pretty big deal that Tony Wiley, who has spent a decade as Dan Snyder's right-hand man and the head of PR in Washington, has decided that it is time to move on as he's going to be taking a gig, as Eric Bickle reported, with Special Olympics.
Yeah, it is a big deal. I mean, the head of PR is responsible for a lot of things and in helping to coordinate a lot of the things that we do. And I think when we were down at training camp, we talked about how important Tony was to getting some of the things we've wanted to do down there done. And obviously over the years, he has been the one who's been either the block in the way or had to be the block in the way as a messenger. So that person is really important within organization and how it's viewed from the outside, even if they're not a public facing person. So obviously for us on the media side, it's a much bigger deal, but best of luck to Tony, and looking forward to seeing him today and shaking his hand and saying congrats.
And I'm thinking kind of even bigger picture than that though, Craig, you know, forget us for a second from a fan perspective. Now, you had Brian LaFamina leave, 40 people, as we reported via Chris Russell on the station, soon thereafter rolled out, said we're good, thanks. Tony, for 10 years, has decided it was worth being with the Redskins, and that decision has changed at this point for whatever reason. I won't dig into that, but I guess my point is the fan base is eroding and a lot of power players are leaving. I just think in and of itself, that's a story.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, for specific to their PR staff, every single person is less than 2 years. So it has been a lot of changeover, and it's hard to have consistency of message as an organization. And it's uncomfortable for everybody there. Like if you're a player and, you know, you're now dealing with another person who's in charge of all your interviews and all those kinds of things, it sucks for them, for the coaches, you know, it's a business largely built on relationships. And when none of the relationships last more than any, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever it is, any significant amount of time, that's not a good business plan. So this is a big deal, and try to figure out why. And I think on some level we know why, but trying to figure that out and correct it, that's the bigger issue in terms of the organization as a whole.
Craig, in D.C., I'm thinking this Chicago offense stinks, and this is a good time for the Redskins defense to get right. In Chicago, they're thinking the Redskins defense stinks, it's a good time for our offense to get right. Who's correct?
I don't think the Redskins defense stinks, and I think the Chicago offense is dangerous on any given week, but is not consistently good. So it's not like the Redskins defense can go into this week and be like, we're good, Mitchell's coming to town, because they do so many things, and they have a ton of weapons on the outside, and if you're not solid and you slip up, like, you can let a couple big plays go by. And that's why on any given week, that offense can be really explosive. But week in, week out, they're not that hard to stop, because at the quarterback position, they're not putting a lot on Trubisky's plate, not allowing him to throw down the field a bunch. And that limits your risk as a defense. On the other side of the field, I do think that you have to look at some inconsistencies. Again, same type of thing where week to week, you just don't know what you're going to get out of this Redskins defense, where we thought it was going to be one of the, you know, the most solid unit on the team. They feel like they can clean up the stuff. They feel like they can clean up the errors, but there's some things, you know, like in the run game that if I'm in Chicago, I can attack, so I'm very curious to see how you know, how they kind of line it up, how they choose to attack. Do they stick with kind of the Matt Nagy all over the place type of offense, or they just line up and say, we don't think your safeties are very good at filling the run, specifically Monte Nicholson. We're going to get it to where he's the guy who's down and we're going to run through a giant gap. So there's things to see on tape that are really interesting to see how Chicago attacks it this week.
Craig, thanks, buddy. We appreciate the time.
You got it. See ya.
Monday Night Football, Skins, Bears will get you covered all day on Monday. It also means Football Friday tomorrow. We can focus on some other things around the league, which would be cool. Let's talk baseball. Craig Heist covers the Nats for us at 106.7 The Fan. Heisty, bad loss yesterday. Sloppy game for the Nationals, but they got help, and they're still 1.5 up.
Yeah, 1.5 up, 2 in the loss column, and that is always the big thing. But, you know, overall this team's lost 8-13, and they're just not scoring runs. And I don't care how good your pitching is, if you don't score runs, you're not going to win very many ball games. And, I mean, we were all saying to ourselves over the last 5 starts, well, when's Max Scherzer returning to form? I thought 2 starts ago he was well on his way to doing that. Then he had the 5-inning game at Nats Park where he didn't look as good. Yesterday he was pretty darn good. And they come up with nothing. There's a misplay where Soto loses the ball in left field in the sun. And, again, if you're talking about a team that's winning these games, they're averaging about 4.5 to 5 runs a game. When they're not, they're averaging about 2 or maybe just a little less. So that's got to change, and it's got to get changed in a hurry.
I see. Why aren't they scoring runs? It's frustrating to watch this offense squander opportunities or not even get them on some nights. They've had 8 games this month where they scored 3 runs or less, only had 6 in all of August when they were killing the ball. What's happening?
Right. Well, you know, again, I think that's kind of the ebb and flows of the season. You're not going to be gangbusters every night, Danny, and you're going to have nights like they had in this Cardinals series. I mean, you know, other than yesterday with Trey Turner getting a double and being on base, you think about the top of the lineup in that Cardinals series, they didn't do much at all. I mean, and you think about the runs that they did score. If Howie Kendrick wasn't in that lineup for the last 2 days, they might not have scored any runs. So, again, it's just a matter of guys getting hot again or just, you know, doing what they can do and not have everybody go into a collective funk at once.
Who's the key, do you think, to be a catalyst and get going here?
Well, to me, it's still the top of the lineup. Those 2 guys got to get on base, Turner and Eaton, for the rest of the lineup to kind of flow. Now, that said, some other guys, and you think about the bench, this bench isn't nearly as potent as it was a few weeks ago. You think about the slump that Gerardo Parra is in right now, 1-for-21 this month alone. Matt Adams, before the shoulder injury, he was scuffling anyway. So, again, it's still the 2 guys at the top of the lineup, and then you try to pass the baton to Rendon and Soto and take it from there. Kendrick hitting number 5, lately has been very good for this team. And again, it's just a matter of collectively coming together and trying to get some hits at key times.
Will Sean Doolittle reclaim his closer's role before the season ends?
Well, I thought he threw the ball pretty well the other night, so I could see that happening. But again, you have Hudson out there, you have Strickland out there, guys who have been in the fray before. It's going to be very interesting to see as we get to this last week and a half. What Dave Martinez and Chip Hale are going to do with it. But I see at least for the time being, a little bit more of a matchup thing going down the wire here.
The Heist Star. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, buddy.
That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Speaking of the Nats, we'll get into the Nationals and the Brewers and the Cubs. A 3-team race for 2 spots next, but some audio we'll play for you. I mentioned Mike Francesa earlier today. He apparently has had his weekly segment with Pat Shurmur of the Giants ended. The Giants and Shurmur have decided they're no longer going to do it, Danny.
Oh.
Because Francesa basically told him how bad his team was.
How bad?
After week 2.
I love it.
Which is hilarious.
So we can
play some of the audio of what he said to Shurmur next on Grant and Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
He'll get you the sports.
The Giants and Pat Shurmur had an agreement with WFAN, our sister station in New York. So think like Jay Gruden if he came on Chad's show every week or our show every week. A la when we had Kirk Cousins or we've had Max Scherzer or someone like that. A lot like that. Apparently, the Giants were so mad about Mike Francesa routinely crushing them for being terrible. And he's been furious ever since they drafted Daniel Jones number 6. This is the other thing I don't get, by the way. Everyone was so mad at them when they drafted Daniel Jones number 6. And then they all were mad that they didn't start Daniel Jones. And they all hate Eli Manning, but they also hate Daniel Jones. No one can kind of figure out anywhere to stand here.
I don't know what Giants fans are mad at. I don't quite get it.
I don't think you can hate Daniel Jones being drafted at number 6 and hate benching Eli Manning to go to Daniel Jones, but also hate the idea that Daniel Jones didn't start in week one.
Best theory I've got.
All those things can't add up.
Right. Best theory I've got is whatever Gettleman does is wrong.
Correct.
And so they don't like Gettleman. So it can be all the things. You don't have to have a rationality. You just go, Gettleman, you know, and you get upset.
So if memory serves, Francesa refused to go to training camp because they weren't going to put Dave Gettleman on his show. So he goes, well, we're not going to go there. If Gettleman can't answer some tough questions, we're not going to be there. So that's how that went.
Okay.
So then Shurmur was going to be on the team, as all the team's head coaches normally have been on the station. For years, they've had Eli Manning. Eli Manning said, no, I'm going to spend more time with my family. Code word, I'm going to get benched soon, so
yeah,
I'm not doing it this year. But this was Shurmur's first appearance with Mike Francesa, and this is a little excerpt of what he was saying to Shurmur.
I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team. You're not good at anything. I mean, so you got a really good running back, and you got a good kicker who missed a field goal yesterday. But other than that, you don't look very good at anything. You can't get the ball in the end zone, and you can't stop anybody. That's a hard combination.
Well, those are things that we got to work on as we move forward.
I mean, so Shurmur just kind of wore it.
He's playing ball, yeah.
Took it on the chin.
What's he supposed to say there?
I don't know. Like, to me, that's such a gotcha, like, tough guy routine. Like, if we had Jay Gruden on right after a 56-0 loss, you can ask the right questions with some tact, and you don't have to be a dick, right? I mean, you don't have to
sit there. Hey, Jay, you guys stink.
Your team's terrible. You don't do anything well. You can make it known that his team is terrible and they don't do anything well with your questions, but also get something out of the interview. I don't know how anybody wins in that line of questioning there. But Shurmur admitted today, I guess the report broke last night, that he wouldn't be going on the show anymore. And he said, I think this was an organizational decision not to do that. Most people aren't aware of this, but I wasn't contractually obligated to do that spot. We did it as a courtesy and out of our respect and our relationship with the radio station. We just felt like for a while, it just put that to bed and we won't have to worry about it moving forward. He wasn't even getting paid to do that. I mean, whenever you hear someone on every single week on this station, we're paying them. That's how that works. They're coming on because there's a relationship with the team and someone's getting paid. They were just doing it because they were being nice to WFAN, according to Shurmur.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't continue that relationship. And listen, I think everybody knows. That's the other thing is some fans want their pound of flesh, and I get that. When you tune in, you want your chance to point your finger in James Dolan's face and say, your team stinks, right? Or, hey, Pat Shurmur, your Giants stink because you paid, because you're invested, because you care, right? But to your point, I get your frustration. We're all frustrated. This isn't good for anybody. There is a way to do it, acknowledging the truth, and it's a hard line to walk, especially if you've got a relationship with the team or with the coach or whomever you're talking to. But you address, hey, this hasn't gone well. What's the next step? How do we make it go well? Where are we going from here? There's a way to do it without basically just going, your team is terrible. You don't do anything well. Good running back, but you suck, they suck, we all suck. So go to hell. There's a lot more you can get out of that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Not a big deal here in D.C., but just one of those things I find funny that it took 2 weeks of this coach coming on and him telling him how bad his team was. And you heard the audio. It's pretty hilarious. Where it's just, and Shurmur is just so defeated. He goes, yeah, we got to fix that.
Those are things we will be working on. We will seek to improve. What do you got? What else you got? What other questions?
Here's a question I got.
What do you got?
Can the Nats get hot in time for a possible play-in game?
Running out of clock for that.
They have 11 games left. Now, if they're going to get on a roll, the time is right now. They are off today, and they are in Miami to play the Marlins for 3 straight games starting on Friday night. 7:10 first pitch Friday, 6:10 first pitch Saturday, 1:10 they get started on Sunday. Obviously, you need to take 2 out of 3. That goes without saying. You'd love to sweep. That's a lot easier said than done. But 3 games against the Marlins should give you a chance. Let's just say they do sweep to get on a roll going into a 5-game series over 4 days with the Phillies. The Phillies, because they've played much better in a series against the Braves, actually still have a shot. Now, ideally, what would happen is the Phillies will get cold here over the next few days and they'll be cooked. If they lose to the Braves, and their game with Atlanta just started, they're in the first inning today in Georgia. If the Phillies lose to the Braves today and then drop 2 out of 3 to the Indians, it'll stand to reason at that point with about 8 games remaining in their season, they'll know that they're out.
They're pretty much cooked, right?
And by the end of that 5 games against the Nationals, they'll be in evaluation mode. So I think what you should be rooting for if you're a Nats fan is the Phillies to lose today, lose to Cleveland,
yes,
and not have anything to play for. Otherwise, they'll still be able to fool themselves into thinking, if we run the table, we got a shot. And the less desperate teams you're playing, the better. Right?
You would think. I mean, occasionally you get that right recipe where the nothing to lose team can spoil it for the division winner. You know, see Orioles and Red Sox years ago.
Too.
And that happens every once in a while. And you love nothing more than to, you know, serve the old the blank and the punch bowl, you know? But for the most part, you're right. I'd like more teams checked out than directly competing for wild card spots.
The Phillies are only 4.5 back of the Nats, which is pretty surprising. But they are, at this point, kind of creeping up now on the Cubs and the Brewers after yesterday just because of the win that they got. Mm-hmm. So Washington, 1.5 up on the 2 teams in the NL Central, 4.5 up on both the Phillies and the Mets. They would basically need to run the table and get a lot of help to get in. The math on this is like single-digit percentage chance that would make it. But there is a difference between a manager filling out a lineup card who knows his team is eliminated and he might play some kids, or you're going to pitch a guy you just want to get a look-see at instead of one of your top guys. It's going to be easier to handle the Phillies if they're eliminated.
Their last 3 games are against the Marlins, which you mentioned, including just a whole mess against Washington. So I don't want to say you can book multiple wins at the end of the season, but you would think, right? You would think that if they're still alive and kicking, if they're still treading water going into the final weekend, and they're 3 games out or 2 games out, they can make up that ground,
right,
while the Nationals are playing Cleveland.
Well, think about this. If they win 3 of 4 here, they beat the Indians in a series and they take Atlanta today, they could, if the Nats don't handle the Marlins like they're supposed to, they could be within 2 games coming into that Nats series.
With five to play, including a doubleheader. Yeah.
At that point, it's on.
Yes,
I mean, you could
is.
Definitely catch them. Even if, let's say, the Cubs and the Brewers are hot enough that those 2 teams become the 2 wild card teams, you could catch Washington for 2nd in the division. So you got to give the Phillies a lot of credit. And it's not like they've been red hot. They won their last 2. They're 6 of their last 10. They've just kind of been okay. But their okay has been a little bit better than the Nationals, who have been playing basically .500 ball for a few weeks.
They've been doing this. They have been as up and down as any team in baseball. Every time I think, okay, here comes Philly, right? They go on some sort of losing streak or drop a few games or, you know, have a bad road trip where they think they lost like 5 of 6 when Arizona was playing like garbage and the Giants were terrible in August. And you go, okay, now they're done. And then they come storming back, right? They win 5 straight against the Cubs and the Mets or something like that. This is a weird team to figure out over the course of this year. They're probably where they should be, to be honest with you, just a few games over .500 and in 3rd place in the division. But their path to get here has been very strange, I would say.
Here's the question for you guys, and we'll open up the phones right now at 800-636-1067. I guess I'm just curious. It's every now and then we just take the temperature and we wanted to do that. September 19th today here is the Nets get ready for a series tomorrow in Miami. There are 11 games left for them. Are you completely locked in and kind of ride or die with this team making the playoffs? Or do you find yourself not able to get that invested because it's just a nine-inning, one-game play-in? Because it's not a division series where you get the best out of five? Because they could make the playoffs, and 20 minutes after that game starts, you could know that their season is over.
Yeah, 2.5 hours in, it could be, that's it.
A six-month commitment where it got you an extra hour and a half of baseball. Or are you, with every pitch, riding or dying, and you're checking the scores of the Brewers and the Cubs, and last night when the Nats weren't playing, you're pulling those scores up on your phone? Just curious how you guys are feeling about our first legitimate playoff push in Washington, D.C. since the Nats came to town. 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Ted Britt Ford, people. Ted Britt Ford. I've been telling you about them for a while. Here's the reason. They're great at what they do. Don't just take my word for it. Take the fact they've been in business for 60 years. Take that as testament to how good these guys are at what they do. And what they do is treat you very well, get you a great experience in terms of buying. It's the best buying experience in town for my money. And you'll get great value on a car, get great value on your trade-in, and you'll have a car that you love. Pretty simple, right? And something else is special going on right now. It's the summer of 60. It's kind of the 60-year celebration, and it's extended, right? So you don't pay them anything for 60 days on pretty much every model on the lot. Then you add in some of these deals, and they are sweet. $15,000 below MSRP on an F-150 XLT 4x4 Super Crew. $12,225 off that MSRP, 2019 Ford Edge. $10,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Ranger truck. $9,900 below MSRP on a 2019 Ford Escape. Your Stone Cold Steve Austin bottom line is this. Those great deals, plus you don't pay them anything for 60 days. Sounds pretty sweet to me. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford and tell them Danny sent.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Danny 106.7 The Fan, welcome back, and thanks for listening to the show as always. Nats lose yesterday despite Max Scherzer dominating. I'll say this for Scherzer, by the way. He was great in yesterday's start. He looked like Max. The line is deceiving. If you look at it, you say he gave up 5 earned runs.
Yeah, so what are you talking about? He was great for 6 1/3.
Should have been 2 earned runs.
Uh-huh.
3 of them scored after an errant play in the outfield. Didn't go as an error. A lost ball in the sun. But Scherzer yesterday, 11 strikeouts, 6 2/3 innings, scattered 7 hits, and most of those came very late.
Max again the hold. The 1-2. Swing and a miss. He blew him away at 96 with the fastball. That is strikeout number 10 for Max Scherzer. His 92nd career double-figure strikeout game, 10th time this season, and first time since coming back from the injured list.
Late in the start there, he was emptying out the tank.
So you heard the grunt, didn't you?
He was grunting for 96, but he was 97 with ease in the first inning, you know, fresh at the start of that outing. That was good enough for me. If he strings a couple like that together now, where that's my wild card game starter,
yeah.
I just think the apex for him is a little bit higher, a little bit better. The consistency when he's right is a little bit better and different than Strasburg.
You may not have the stamina for 7 or 8, like vintage real deal,
no,
Max.
He's a 7-inning-at-a-time
guy.
But,
yeah.
Because he misses too many bats. I mean, he works too hard for those strikeouts. That's kind of his game. But I saw what I needed to from him to feel good about Scherzer going forward. The question is, with you guys now invested in this team, we've talked about various ways to try to determine how in on the Nats playoff run people are, whether that's attendance or TV ratings or what have you. The question is, do you find yourself kind of living and dying day in and day out where you've got to watch each game at night, where you can't miss it? It's appointment television. You're not going out to dinner. Someone asks you to come do something. You say, oh, the Nats are on and it's a huge game. Where you've got pulled up on your computer the Cubs and the Brewers, because that's how playoff runs work in September. Or you're not there yet. Let's go to Rod in Landover. And maybe a little bit of the problem raining on the parade is that the team's not playing well, and maybe that's affecting you. Rod, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's
how y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good.
it's funny because about maybe 8-9 years ago, I used to hate baseball. But ever since the Nationals, you know, been in town, I've been a big baseball fan to the point where not only do I watch down there every game, but I'm always checking in my phone. I'm almost checking the stats just as much as I do football.
Wow.
I really enjoy baseball, but the crazy thing about it also is the Nationals making me a little nervous because the teams like St. Louis and Chicago, your familiar faces, I mean, they're coming strong. And the Nationals, they kind of remind me sometimes of the Redskins. They somewhat disappointing sometimes. So I'm getting a little nervous, man. I'm hoping they hang on. And I somewhat disagree with Philadelphia. I believe if Philly come in here and let's say they're somewhat out of it, I mean, I see them fighting hard because it's that thing, misery loves company. The best thing that I think they will want to do if they couldn't make it is to make sure the Nationals couldn't make it. So that's all I got.
Appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you. Glad to turn on to baseball, too. That's a cool thing. I like stories like that.
I think that's happening all around the city.
I do,
too. The difference 10 years ago to now for the Nationals in this town is stark. A lot of that has to do with the fact that a lot of people have just decided they're not going to spend their money on the Redskins.
Yeah.
But I also think if you're good enough, and the Nationals have been, and you're good for long enough, and they have been, at some point people go, and they'll have fun.
Yeah, this is nice.
Good luck going to the ballpark with the food and the drink options and sitting out in the sun and watching a team that's probably going to hit some home runs and probably going to win. You're probably going to see Scherzer or Strasburg or Corbin this year. 60% chance that that's going to happen when you show up at the ballpark. And if they're pitching, you're probably going to see a good outing and some strikeouts. It's a pretty good way to spend an afternoon. Yeah. I think people are getting on board.
I mean, we're bad samples for this because we're lunatics. In September, if they were 15 games out, you'd be going, I want to see Carter Kieboom. I want to see, you know, Luis Garcia getting a Major League AB, and I want to see, you know, the AAA reliever that's been striking a bunch of people out, getting an inning at the big league level to see what they have for the future. You and I are nuts. So I'm thinking from, like, the rank and file of Nats fans. How are people viewing this? I get the sense that a couple weeks ago, there was a lot more excitement than right now. I think a couple weeks ago, people are going, we're hosting the wild card game, and we win that, we got a Dodgers team that's been cruising. Hyunjin Ryu, the prohibitive Cy Young favorite, has been garbage for the last couple of weeks. You know, Clayton Kershaw's human. Yeah, Walker Buehler's a stud, but he's young. That's a team that we could beat, right? And then the Braves series happened. And then the second Braves series happened. And all of a sudden, the Mets happened. And I think all of a sudden, a lot of the air has been taken out of that balloon. I think a lot of Nats fans, this is just anecdotal. I can't put my finger on it exactly. I think a lot of fans have kind of come to grips with reality, which may be, unless this offense is unbelievable, performing at a superhuman level, it's going to be left up to the bullpen. Oh, no. It's the bullpen. That's the sinking feeling that I've got. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still focused on this thing. I'm still checking every score, and I haven't stopped figuring out what the Mets and Philadelphia are doing on the off chance that they're the teams that the Nationals have to play. Whatever. I'm obsessed with this thing. I know you are, too. But I think a lot of Nats fans just feel like there's an end to this. There's not a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. There's a, yeah, we get another day or two in the sun, but.
I agree with that. I don't know why that would or should hinder any of the fun now. I mean, to me, this whole thing should be about getting a playoff game in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but when I think about some of my favorite days as a sports fan, as a D.C. sports fan over the last 10 years, some of those days are Nats playoff games downtown right here in Southeast, where we'll go over to Gordon Biersch and have a watch party or do something before the game and walk over. I remember Dodgers and Cubs games going to the ballpark and 40-plus thousand people screaming, twice as many as you can get into an arena for the Caps or the Wizards. You know, feels pretty incredible. And to me, that the whole thing should be about getting that one more game. Now, if you lose that game, and there's a really good chance that they do,
sure,
and they will, But let's figure that out when that happens. In the meantime, I can't imagine like not finding a way to tonight or tomorrow when you're turning on a baseball game that matters to the Nats being all in. Because maybe in a few weeks they might lose anyway. That kind of defeats the purpose to me. Grant and Danny on the Fan. There's a high school football assistant coach who took the game plans and all of the pertinent information to his football team and underneath of his head coach's nose for 3 years.
3 years.
Sent out a bunch of intel to opponents. And he got caught doing it. Why? We'll talk about that story next on Grant and Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At 1 o'clock on Grant and Danny, Andy Benoit is going to join us. Benoit, who just tweeted about Montez Sweat, that Sweat looks completely overmatched in the film that he's watching against Tyron Smith this past week against the Cowboys. He says he needs to develop some pass rush moves and a personal game plan. He has this issue last week against Jason Peters. Look, Montez Sweat has been immensely disappointing so far as a pass rusher. There's no denying that. He's actually played on more running downs and been better against the run, frankly, than I even thought he was going to be initially. But getting to the quarterback has been a problem. He doesn't have a quarterback hit. He doesn't really have pressures. He's been a complete non-factor, basically a zero, Preston Smith-esque, you know, for games at a time. And we said that this was going to be an impact guy. We set the over-under for him at, I think, 7.5 or 8 sacks. And I was hoping he would get to 9 as a rookie. And he could still do that. There's a lot of football left. He's played two of the best left tackles in the league at different points over the last few years. So I'm not going to bury him just yet.
Nor should you. I mean, even if you play the two worst after two games of being a pro, the book isn't written. But
if he played the two worst
more.
And he did what he did, I would be concerned. Right now, I have a little bit of concern about his rookie season. Here's my issue, is just watching him. There aren't moves. You know, if you go back and you watch Montez Sweat, he uses his length and kind of runs into the guy in front of him and tries to push him out of his way. It's not like he's swimming or spinning or, you know, setting guys up with a jab step outside and coming inside. I like what Benoit said, and we can double down and ask him about this when he joins us in about 10 minutes. But there is no seeming game plan for him. It's like he's just still in college mode where he's bigger and stronger and faster than the guy across from him. And that's not going to work when you're going up against Tyron Smith and Jason Peters.
No, that's right. You think
two
of
guys who could both make the Hall of Fame.
No, true. I mean, you think of a running back when they first get to, you know, first get to college or first get to the pros, where they're faster than every guy on the field. You can bounce everything outside and hit a home run. And that goes away when you get to that next level, right? It looks like that to me, where all I had to do in the SEC, which is a grown man's conference, but was just get upfield as quick as possible. I was faster and stronger than everybody. Those are some adults you're going against now. I mean, these are real deal dudes, and you got to develop back in the lab something to get around it. The raw talent is still there, I think, but hasn't unlocked it yet. I haven't seen the speed at all. Don't you feel like you haven't seen him run at any point in time? This guy that's got world-class speed for someone that's that monstrous and that huge? I feel like I haven't seen any of the speed just yet.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. So I've been wanting to talk about this, okay? There is this high school coach who has been on the staff that he's on for 3 years. Have you seen this story about this guy that gave away the game plan to opponents?
It's unbelievable. Really unbelievable.
So here's the deal. He apparently, for multiple years, has been taking the game plan, taking the personnel groupings, taking the first 15 script, all the things that this coach designs, and sending it to their opponents. And nobody knows why he was doing this. I'll just read this story out of Phoenix. A teacher and a coach from Mountain Point High School in Phoenix has been accused of sharing vital information about their sports teams, according to the Temple Union High School District. The staff member identified as Justin Hager served as the varsity girls basketball coach. By the way, he did it as the head coach of the girls basketball team, apparently, as well, and an assistant coach for varsity football. After a personal investigation, the coach is now accused of sharing protected information about formations, game plans, signals, and players' eligibility. He's even saying, like, if we do this at the line of scrimmage, this is what it means. In a letter sent to the AIA, the district says they were made aware of the allegations when a head coach in Las Vegas, this is a good team, they travel out of state, pointed out the email they received with protected information. And that coach is Vernon Fox, who played in the NFL. I think it's the same guy based on the age, what I looked up, played for the Redskins. He allegedly sent Vernon Fox the package of stuff that he sends all these other coaches, none of whom ever said a word about it for 3 years. Mm. And Vernon Fox, his head coach in Las Vegas, basically went right to the head coach as soon as he got to the game of the other team, and he said, hey, I'd want someone to tell me, this is the email I got from one of your assistants. Like, check this out.
It is the same Vernon Fox, by the way, played multiple years in the NFL.
Fox responded to Hager to tell him he was not interested in receiving the protected information according to emails provided by the district and said, you know, we're not cheaters. Sir, I don't believe in cheating. We are not looking to gain an unfair advantage. We will prepare as best we can and look to have a great competitive game. Many blessings, Fox wrote to Hager August 21st. Good for Vernon Fox, by the way.
Mm.
Fox played 8 years as a safety in the league, as you mentioned. So Hager has agreed to resign now in lieu of this termination. So I think as a teacher, in addition to being the coach where he got terminated. Nobody knows why he did this, though. The quote that came out from the principal of the school was, our entire campus is shocked at these findings. It is the responsibility of all adults in the high school campus to act with integrity, to put students first. I've been sent a bunch of other stories today by other people where he was also calling up the local newspapers and local outlets like news organizations as a third party to tip them off that you got to do a story on this assistant coach who's an up-and-coming star and like this guy's going to be a real special coach one day. And he's calling them up. It'd be the equivalent of you calling up like the Washington Post and saying, hey, could you do a feature on Danny Ruya? I think he's really funny and interesting.
The guy's really good talent. He's really, really funny in the middays.
This is a story.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that just I can't stop reading about. Last night, I went down this rabbit hole for like an hour, just clicking through everything that I could. It was amazing. But here's a little audio from you. This is from a clip from Phoenix. This is CBS 5 Arizona.
Well, the biggest question everybody wants to know is why? What was Justin Hagar's motive? We tried asking him that. We went to his house this afternoon in Ahwatukee. When we got to the door, it was clear he was in the middle of moving. Even though we knocked and told him who we were, he did not come outside. In the meantime, we spoke to Coach Vernon Fox. He's the high school football coach from Faith Lutheran in Las Vegas. He's the only coach to report the emails leaking game information. It happened back in August, right before his matchup with Mountain Point High School in Las Vegas. He says in the days leading up, he received around 7 separate emails with screenshots of plays, playbooks, and information regarding the upcoming game. He says he's never seen anything like that before. Totally caught him off guard. He confronted Mountain Point High School head coach Rich Welbrock before the game.
Prompted my conversation with coach when they came. It was just simple. You know, I just mentioned to him, I said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, there's someone that's angry. And for whatever reason, you know, we've gotten this information. And I just wanted to let you know my response. And, you know, it's not something that we utilize.
So this coach from Vegas says he was motivated by the fact that if the shoe were on the other foot, he would hope people would come forward and tell him that there was something going on within his program.
I am just stunned by this.
The why question will haunt me. Here's what I bet. I bet that it started off as something spiteful, and then he liked the way that it felt for some reason.
But don't you think you're sending an email with your name attached to it? It's not coming from some random third party. Maybe it was, I guess. I don't really know. But I don't know how they would have known it was him immediately. I got the sense that it came from, like, his direct email. Don't you know that you're going to get caught? Like, when you're doing something like this, danny.ruye25@gmail.com.
Awatuki.
The Grant and Danny Show. This is the stuff you need to know about us. Like, it takes one person screen grabbing that and posting it. And in today's day and age, that's inevitable. You're going to get caught. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Dom says he thinks maybe, and I could buy this a little bit, he's leveraging for a bigger job. So I don't know enough about the school he's at as opposed to these other schools. But you know, with Vernon Fox, a former NFL player, a team that's playing out of state, you know, probably a pretty good program in Vegas, maybe the idea is if I scratch their back, they'll hire me. But he did it every week for like 3 years.
Yeah, it's, I guess you're casting a broad networking net.
Well, there's another aspect to it, too, where he's kind of sending his tape as his version of a coach's tape as opposed to like a player reel where he's saying, look at my playbook. Look at all these things that I have going on. I'm such an innovator. He thinks he's Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, he apparently did think he was Cliff Kingsbury because he was calling TV stations asking for stories in Alawagi or whatever.
Awatuki.
Say it one more time, miss.
Awatuki.
All right.
To be done on him. Can you imagine that?
Awatuki.
This guy.
Awatuki.
This is an all-time story for your boy.
I want somebody to get him. I want Bryant Gumbel to take his glasses off and go, tell us why.
I'm going to watch that interview. Whoever gets it, whoever does it, I will be watching that interview. It is 1 o'clock in a couple of minutes, which means the
Awatuki.
Big one. And we're not going to head to Awatuki, even though it is radio, so we could do that. Andy Benoit probably has traveled to Awatuki at some point.
Awatuki.
We will talk to Andy Benoit next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.